If you live in a major city and there's a new building going up, chances are pretty good it's made of glass. It helps with energy efficiency and it looks kind of cool and modern. But there is that simple rule of architecture that has to be considered. A new building can't damage other buildings or parked cars or passers-by. Which brings us to London, where, as you may have heard, the reflective glare from the walkie-talkie tower recently melted part of a Jaguar parked nearby. A similar scene is playing out in Dallas, Texas, where reflections from the Museum Tower complex are overheating the Nasher Sculpture Center next door. The phenomenon has also been seen in Las Vegas. Well, Christoph Reinhardt is trying to do something about it. He teaches architecture at MIT and has figured out a way to predict the kind of glare that will result from a glass building. He joins us in the studio. And Professor Reinhardt, how common are these reflections, these so-called death rays?
Well, these death rays, that's of course one term that's now being used for when you effectively have a large specular surface somewhere in the built environment. So what this means, you have a surface that acts as a mirror. That in itself is not a problem. So there are two effects that can happen. One is if the surface is curved in a certain way, concave, so it's focusing, and that's the case for the walkie-talkie building, for example. And what happens then, the building acts as a solar cooker and basically concentrates the solar gains from the sun and heats up a point. Mm-hmm. There's actually another very interesting effect that can happen, and that is when the surface is scattering. So instead of acting just as a mirror where just one ray gets reflected in exactly one direction, you can have scattering of light forward. And what happens then, you suddenly have a very, very large bright surface which is creating glare.
And so how common is that?
Well, the reason for that is that if you have, just as we have in many instances in the built environment, a flat surface that reflects some light, then we see a tiny dot of the sun. And that's not a problem because we have the sun in the sky anyhow. Once we have the scattering effect, suddenly the sun is blown up in size of what you see. And since the sun is several orders of magnitudes brighter than the sky, even when you basically smear out the light from the sun, when you have this very bright object in your field of vision, then you're experiencing glare and you can't see. And that is really becoming a bigger effect in with the installation of photovoltaic panels that have this behavior.
So I think of all of the buildings these days that are being put up, many of them made with glass on the side of them. I think of the new World Trade Center in New York, the new Trump building in Chicago, the mm-hmm. new Ritz-Carlton in downtown Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Are all of these buildings susceptible to this kind of thing, or are they using glass that's not going to be a problem?
Well, in that case, it depends really on the geometry of the surface. So when you have a flat surface, you usually have less of a problem. An exception might have been the Nasher building
in Dallas,
the sculpture garden, because what happened in that instance, they had a very high reflective material that creates glare in the adjacent sculpture garden. So it's this fine trade-off. Why do we use this high reflective surfaces? The reason is, of course, when you have a surface, a facade with a lot of glass, then you don't want all these solar gains in the building. So you use you pick a glazing that keeps the solar gains out.
To keep the building cool even, right?
Yeah.
Or not have people's work be affected by the light.
Yeah, we are creating our own problem there. So instead of having a smaller window, we have a very, very big window. And then we don't want the solar gains in there, so we're reflecting it out. That, of course, means we have an impact on our environment that we have to assess somehow.
And is the effect outside just an annoyance or is it a real problem?
Well, it really depends on the application. I guess now the walkie-talkie is an extreme where really you have this concentrating effect that destroys objects. That's, of course,
that's gonna
not
be
okay.
A problem, right.
Then in the case of a project that we recently worked on with a local airport, there actually the photovoltaic created so much glare for people in the control tower that they couldn't see. So depending on the situation, you can have something very similar going on if you put up photovoltaic panels near a highway. Then, of course, the glare is a safety hazard.
Now, tell us about the work that you have been doing, because you were actually hired by this airport you're talking about to deal with this exact problem.
Yeah. What we have been doing, we have been developing computer-based method, something that is called ray tracing, in order to predict this type of effect. Ray tracing means that in a computer, you basically put a three-dimensional scene of the environment, and then you shoot rays either from the eye of an observer or from a light source that gets reflected, and then you understand what's happening within the environment.
And does that work? Is that accurate?
That is, works is very accurate. Typically, this technology we've been using, for example, for the design of green buildings, when people do computer simulations of the predicted energy use of the building or of the predicted daylight distribution within the building, there we know that these kind of methods work. Now, what we really have to do is we have to look at the whole year. So we basically have to repeat this ray tracing run for every hour of the year when the sun is above the horizon in order to see, of course, when can this happen. And this is where I would say current standards are not there yet to requiring everybody to do this type of analysis. So we can't only pick one moment in time.
Well, we are here at the end of the summer. Is this the peak time, do you think, typically, or does it matter? Is it just about where the light is hitting the glass?
There's no specific peak time. So in the case of this PV array, we basically showed, we developed a new technique that basically visualizes over the whole year where the glare is coming from. So there was a very large band of arrays, 15 of them, and you could basically see the sun moving across the sky, and you saw that a different panel was responsible for glare at different times in the year.
This is, it seems, a problem that we're going to see more and more of, because right now everybody wants to build their buildings with glass.
Yeah.
Do you think that the problem is going to get worse, or do you think that maybe glass buildings are a fad and we're going to move back to an era where we have brick buildings and buildings made of other things?
I personally don't think glass buildings go away. They enjoy a lot of popularity. A lot of owners like them generally as well. It's known that they create a challenge for the design team in terms of visual comfort, thermal comfort within the building. I mean, what we have to do is really we have to use more advanced methods to design the buildings and avoid these type of incidences as they happened here.
Well, you're on the front end of trying to deal with this problem. Is the software that you're developing going to become commercial so that everyone can use it?
Yeah, that's all the thing. All the tools that we are developing are publicly available, usually in open source form. And in order to make them more usable, we have commercialized several tools as well. One of the big challenges that I see is our tools are relatively easy and straightforward to use, and others can generate similar tools. We really need now manufacturer data, because in the case of the photovoltaic panels, we have this forward scattering effect that I mentioned earlier, and that's something that is not required by anybody to measure and provide this information. So even if you are willing on the design team, you have to basically know the physical properties. And we looked at various photovoltaic array products, and they vary considerably, actually.
Well, Christoph Reinhardt, architecture professor at MIT, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com. And Lumosity.com, dedicated to improving memory and attention with neuroscience-based games for the brain at Lumosity.com.